Amen. Holy Spirit, fall on this place. Fill us with your love and grace. That's all we got to hang on to. Nothing else to hang on to around here, are they? So glad to be a Christian. To where we know where we come from, know what we're doing here, and we know where we're going. We're not like the world. And you look at the world, we had a festival down in Maysville yesterday, and you look around at the people, and you see some that don't care, and you see some that are scared to death. So you got all kinds, you know. But the ones that are scared to death don't know the Lord. And the ones that don't seem to care, they don't know the Lord either. So, you know, we know the Lord because we have him inside of us. And we know one thing's for sure. I was talking to a minister yesterday. And he said, you know, it's just a time of pressure, even though nothing in his town they've been hit. But we were discussing where Brother Ram told us when he preached the countdown. He said, we were the ones that were pressurized for this age. So he had to equip us. When John F. Kennedy told NASA in 1963 or 62, we're going to the moon before the end of this decade. And they did it in April of 1969. All right. What did they have to do? They had to equip a group of people that had to do something that they had never done before. They had never been to the moon. They had never been in two or three different capsules where one's got to pull apart from the other one and all these things. What am I saying? If man, if that tree of knowledge of good and evil can send a man to the moon, and now they're talking about going to Mars, then why can't we, off of the tree of life, realize that we're pressurized for this age? And that God had to equip us, so he sent us a prophet, to equip us on how to navigate through this world that we're living in. God bless you. Continue to pray for Brother Dale. As Terrence said, Sister Ruth is down there now assessing the situation. So we thank God for nurses. There's a special place. People like her and Sister Amy and that's good. Man, you can't beat that. Antibiotics and ice cream. He'll be at church Wednesday night. But we need to just keep praying. We need, you know, she agreed to go down and check on him and pray for mom too. She's a little bit nervous about the whole thing. So would we all. I mean, that's her husband of 60 some odd years. So we are praying for supernatural strength for both of them and let the body work its course. You know, God give us an ability to fight off infection and even if we got infection, to get rid of it. And then he gave us some wonderful doctors to give us some medication. We agree with all that. Okay, we agree with all that. Not denying anything, but we know one thing for sure. When Brother Dale walks back in this room, it was God that did the healing. Man gave him something just to kind of, it's what we're going to talk about today, you know, that's because this is the effects of the fall. Yes. This is the effects of what happened when we're talking about between Adam and Eve. Brother Bram said every graveyard, every hospital, he named off several things happened because of that one word off in the Garden of Eden. So, but he did equip us to make it through this. Absolutely. And that's what I'm holding on to is that he said for me to, that I was going to be an astronaut. I'm going to get out of here. So he's got to equip me just like the United States of America equipped their astronauts with the best equipment. Even though something went wrong there with Apollo 13, guess what? They worked it out. Listen, God's already got this thing worked out. He knows every up and down, every in and out, and he is God on the mountain and God in the valley. So, Brother Luis will be speaking. It is your turn because Bob, Brother Aaron, Brother Luis, we'll be speaking Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll have our regular service on Wednesday, just like this. But now next Sunday, for sure, just like this Sunday, we're only going to have one service. Start at 10 o'clock. We're doing just like we're doing today. Anyone can come. The downstairs is pretty full. Up here is full, too. So we're just praying that Brother Dale will get a good report and we can get him back in the saddle. So we thank the Lord for the things that he's given us. He's given us an opportunity to serve him, and that's exactly what we need to do. Do it to our best. All right? So also today, it's kind of funny. There were some more questions came in. It's really not funny, but today, if you'll pull up the screen, we're not going to talk about twins. We got to kind of leave that alone. We got to go back to this word, deceived. Because the questions that were asked are good questions, and today I want to caution you that I'm going to have to say some things that maybe a little, I don't want you to take it rough. Listen, because people thought Brother Branham was a woman hater. People thought Elijah was a woman hater. But now look, God doesn't hate women. Brother Branham didn't hate women. But a woman is a type of the church. And Eve was a female type of the church. But remember, we've heard sermons. All of us that's been here a long time, we've heard sermons with preachers get up here and they browbeat the sisters. Well, I thought the Bible said that you treat your wife as Christ treats you. Absolutely. We forget as men that we are all female in the body of Christ. So whatever is being said, if there's a sorry woman, a slut or a dog or a whore, like Brother Brown was talking about, do you know that we all were whores in our mind? We were born between Satan and Eve, born bastard children. So don't get all upset when we start talking about females and what Eve did and what Adam did, because one of the questions is, and I don't, it's not funny, it's just that all the questions were asked by women in the church here. Every one of them, not a man didn't ask one question. All by the females. So quit laughing or you'll tell who asked the question back there. But there's a recurring question that keeps coming, and I don't think you realize how deceived Eve was. Remember, the Bible says she was deceived, Adam was not.
That's right.
Right? So Eve, as the church today, whatever's happening in the Garden of Eden, is still a deception going on today in the female church, even the bride.
Yes.
That's what we got to get back to that one word off. That's why God sent us a prophet to put the perfect word in front of us to see what we'd do about it. So today when we mention things about being deceived and a woman being a million times, you just realize one thing's for sure. You think about it, sisters. Then you think about it, brothers, in some of the false doctrine that we've come through, some of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptisms that we swallowed. That's just as deceived as your sweet little wife. Because we're the sweet little wife of Jesus Christ. And remember, she was deceived first time in the garden. She was deceived at Nicaea.
Right.
And she's still being deceived now.
Yes.
So that deception is what we need to cover. And I want you to realize that deception is still here.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. But we will have to say a few things. I'm going to quote Brother Branham in a lot of things, but I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes. Because, listen, the deception is why we're still here. In the female part of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. If she was deceived at Nicaea, because remember, we end up in this church age with blind, wretched, miserable, and what? Naked and don't know it. Now, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Here we come to the last church age, and we go right back to the Garden of Eden to see that Eve was deceived in what she did. Adam was not. All right. Now that's the Bible and that's the prophet's message. So let's get started here with the two spirits and look at deception or deceived. And we'll look at that word, but I want to, background just a few minutes. So 1 John 4:1, let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Lord, truly, this is your day. But not just your day, you've included your bride in this day. Lord, that we're supposed to stand in this end time, regardless of what comes, what may, regardless of the Judases and all the different things, the other spirit that's contacting us and trying to make us go wrong, trying to give us false doctrine, false word, false seed. Lord, you said they would be a bride that would be virtuous, that would be white, that would not have her skirts wrinkled, that everything would be pure. Father, we're depending on your word to develop, as we were talking about NASA developing a crew and a ship. Lord, you've equipped us for this, but it's right here in the word. We don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right here in your word, Father. We just got to be able to look at it and not be deceived and see what God's already given to us, Lord, in the word. Father, we ask you to just be with Brother Dale and Sister Dale. Be with all the bride around the world. Many people we talked to yesterday, several pastors and several people, telling them about Brother Dale. Lord, they've got some of the same situations in their church, so we're not alone. We're not alone because we got you. But Satan is raging in our body. He's trying to get us this way, but he can't do anything unless you're finished with us. Father, we pray that you'd be with us now, take care of us, and further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. All right, now that spirit of Antichrist was in the garden. It was right here with John, and it's right here now. All right. But now, the second Adam came to destroy the effects of that. We just got to believe it. Remember, it's pardon, not a pardon, until accepted as a pardon. We must accept that pardon. You say, oh, I accepted it. Yeah, you may have accepted part of it. When you got your new birth, you accepted the part that Jesus Christ paid your debt and made your soul eternal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he not only died for that, he died for this thing too. Amen. He died to turn this back to the Garden of Eden where it should have been. That's why Brother Branham in Christ the Mystery of God revealed. What did he say? All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ he poured into the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. All right. So we know that. You're God, little children. You're of God, little children. You have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we. Now look how confident John was. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. But now remember, and Brother Brown tells us, he talks about the children of disobedience. He said, now a child cannot deceive you as much as an adult. An adult can deceive you. Now, a little child's pretty good at it. Did you eat that cookie? No, I have cookie all over it. That's being a liar. But an adult, we're dealing with an adult. Like I said before, we're dealing now with the apex. As we're dealing with the apex of sin and the apex of Satan, we're also dealing with the apex of Almighty God. Amen. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. There is no second wife. There is no divorce in this end time. We are the bride of Christ, and he's going to collect us and take us to a wedding supper. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you believe that, because I sure do. Because he's not anywhere. Sure, he is there. I was thinking today, you know, we always, and God is a segregationist, okay? He told Israel not to marry, intermingle, and they did. He tells us not to marry, you know, three or four wives and all that thing. But anyway, he's only married to one spouse. But he did have a divorced wife. He does have, what I was thinking about today was, we always look at the Lamb's Book of Life and the eternal section and the Genesis 1:26 man. But listen, folks, God knows every child that as soon as this rapture takes place, a child is going to heaven. I'm not talking about bride now. I'm talking about out in the world.
Yes.
In India, Africa, wherever there's a child below the age of accountability, God's got a place for that person.
Amen.
Even though they're not in the plan of God as far as the salvation plan, think about that. Sometimes we get kind of narrow, and I do like the, for God to talk about me, you know, because we're family. But my, he's got all these other names written down too. All these foolish virgins, all a cup of water. He's already got a place for them to live. He made this world big enough just for enough people that what's going to be in the future home, he's not going to have to make the world bigger.
That's right.
Amen. Everybody's going to fit.
Yes.
So why don't worry about that? You just worry about being the one. I want to be the one that lives in that city.
Absolutely.
I want to be the one that lives in that city where the Lamb is the light, and I don't have to go outside and sleep out there. I stay inside and don't have to sleep. Amen? So the Lord's blessed us by giving us that information, but what are we doing with that information? Are we just saying, well, it's just good information? Or are we really taking it to heart and saying, Papa God, thank you for building me a house. Thank you for getting something ready for me. So that I can live eternally, not just, you know, 70 or 80 or 90 years down here on earth. Eternal. We can't fathom that. You know why? Because we're time creatures. We got to remember, we got to think about what we're doing tomorrow. And what we got to do to plan our time to do all these things tomorrow. Don't worry about it, church. When the Bible says eye has not seen, I've been trying to dwell on that a little bit just to see if we can go further into the mind of God. Not further than Brother Branham, please help me. But to go further into the mind of God than we've ever been before.
Amen.
To be able to see through His eyes, to see. We know we see the plan of redemption. But are we deceived like the first Eve was and don't know it? And we're looking at something that we shouldn't be looking at. Or we go down this road that we're not supposed to go down. We're supposed to be on our GPS, God's predestinated seed or God's positioning system. Not man's, because God don't ever say recalculating, or he never says you've missed your turn. No, no, no. He's right on time every time. So let's keep that in your mind. Eve was totally deceived. She thought what she did, ever how hideous we think it was, she thought she was doing the exact thing God wanted her to do. See, if you'll remember that, then there won't be so many questions of, well, why was this and why? She was deceived.
Yes.
Period. Whatever Satan fed her was just one word, but you know he worked in that a little bit. It wasn't just a one sermon thing. Somebody was talking the other day, and I believe it too, that their mother always told them that the beast was kind of Adam and Eve's housekeeper. And that would be true because he can converse with Adam and Eve and he can converse with the animals. So they were just kind of hanging around with the beast. Well, here Satan just jumps right in and he goes to talking. It's not a one day thing.
Amen.
Listen, he's been working for ever how many thousands of years. He's been working in his deception process. Sure, he got her to believe, but now remember, like I said before, Genesis 3:14 says, in the end time, she'll be blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and won't know it. Okay? So now let's read number one. We've always read it. We're going to read it again. Listen, we don't have a second service. I know y'all eat a little extra. So at 12 o'clock, you won't be going, you'll be going, amen. Because one service, there's just no stress now, Brother Bob. There's just no stress. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Now what was the book of Acts? That was when God's Eve was born. No amens to that? Because that's what he always wanted. He wanted spoken word children.
That's right.
So on the day of Pentecost, not 1906, AD 30, when on the day of Pentecost, at the book of Acts, it was when God's bride come into view.
Right.
Now remember, she's going to be deceived again later on because Satan's going to work right back in there. Because look, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. In other words, blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it. All right? It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. Now look what's happening now. Listen, Satan never presented Eve and said, you're God's fault. Right? He never walked up to her and said, look, you don't even need to listen to what that guy says. He's just not even telling you the truth. Huh? No, he walked up and he said, you'll not surely die. For in the day you eat thereof, you'll be as gods. Well, see, that makes the female part, the feelings, feel good. He didn't contact Adam with that. Adam already knew he was a god. He was the son of God. He controlled this whole world. We'll get into that in a minute. He was the ruler of this earth. He wasn't a blundering idiot. Okay? So he knew what he was doing when he did what he did. Christ knew what he was doing by taking on our sin. Adam knew what he was going to do by taking on the sin of Eve. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what? She's the last Eve. She's the Eve that's going to go to the wedding supper. All right? We're going to take a body change on this earth, and we're going to destroy death on this earth.
Yes.
Amen? What she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works. Now, not greater, but more. Brother Branham explains that she will be an invincible army if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Listen, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life stood just like this in the garden. Which was who? We know it was Jesus Christ, and we know it was Satan. And in one place, Brother Branham said it was Eve, because that's where it all came from. But it had to be Satan. There's only two spirits, God's spirit and the spirit of Satan. All right? Because remember, he was cast out of heaven and came down into the Garden of Eden. If you'll read Satan's Eden, which I've got some quotes here, read Satan's Eden. That's what the whole thing was. Satan came down here to build his kingdom. He can't build one in heaven anymore because he got cast out. So he's building it down here by what? Knowledge, intelligence. My revelation's better than yours. I fished with him. I hunted with him. I don't have to go to church. I just listen to tape. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be what? I like that word when it comes to the devil. Powerless before her. Amen? So now let's read the second one. This is the one I was going to try to get to with the twins, but since all these questions popped up, which is great because we need to answer these questions and then move on. But listen, folks, if we're deceived, you don't know it. Until somebody tells you. If you're deceived, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you the definition of deceived. These people done a lot of things in deception, thinking that they were absolutely correct. Amen? Did you get it now? These are those twins again. They are those two trees again growing side by side in the same earth, partaking of the same nourishment, drinking in the same rain, and benefiting by the same sun. But they come from different seeds. One tree is for the word of God, exactly as God gave it, and loves and obeys it. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God, and changes it where it wants to. Now, we see that even happening in the message.
Yes.
How can you deny Ephesians? How can you deny not forsaking assembling yourself together? And how that you need apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints? God don't change his word, but the devil does. One tree is for the word of God exactly as God gave it and loves and obeys it. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God and changes it where it wants to. Now, we're talking about the denominational system also. It substitutes its own creeds and dogmas for the living true word exactly as did Cain, who ended up killing Abel. But thank God for a prophet. He says, but fear not, little flock. Stay with the word. Keep that word between you and the devil. Eve did not do that, and she failed. And watch this. And when the church lets down on the word, she goes into the depths of the darkness of Satan. That's pretty powerful. All right. So now the next thing we want to highlight here is the law of reproduction. Remember, Genesis 1 verse 11, this is where Satan gets his idea. Satan doesn't have a seed. He can't create a seed, but he can take and pervert a seed. All right. So now God's word is seed. God has no other kind of seed. Amen. His seed is his word. And so is all these. Now, if you plant, that's what you're going to harvest. The fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. Now, remember, Adam, at the beginning, before the fall, had the ability to speak the word, right?
That's right.
Remember Brother Bram said, move, cloud, move, tree, move. He was designing the whole, that's why I said he was God of the earth. And he had God intelligence, not serpent intelligence. He had God intelligence. All right? Everybody got that?
Yes.
Because every seed bring forth of his kind. He came from God.
Yes.
Amen. So did Eve, but a byproduct, though, coming out of to help reproduce him. But there was nowhere in the original... I'm trying to say this because the whole plan of God is we came the way we did because he knew that. But when he set up that Genesis 1:26, man, he wanted man to bring forth male and female, created he them, multiply and replenish the earth. That was not by natural seed. That was not by a woman and man in copulation or whatever you want to call it, coming together sexually. That was not in the original plan of God. There is no sex in the plan of God. But this had to be injected into the plan of God, right? To show his attribute of healer, redeemer, savior, and all the different things, God had to allow it because Brother Brown told us, he said, God knew when he put them in flesh, they'd fall. Because they can't flesh in spirit because you can't procreate as a spirit. Sexually. But you can spoken word. Amen? Is that all
right?
Spoken word. Because remember, spoken word is the original seed. Everybody got that? So I said, we may have to say some things and you may have to explain something to your kids, but maybe it's about time you do. Whose seed is in itself after his kind. Josh was in me. Sister Esther was not. That's why Esther is not the same feature form as Josh. Why? Because my DNA through the bedding ground produced Josh. Well, now what the original plan of God was, remember, Adam had the book of life. Adam had the book. To what? Reproduce God. Bring his children through the spoken word,
yes.
Not through the other part. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Then when all the fall happened, God took the book from Adam because now you have to go and you have a natural polluted womb. But Eve's mind was polluted first. You got to keep remembering that. Eve's mind was so polluted first, she believed she was doing the right thing.
Yes.
She still does.
That's right.
Go over there to, listen, I'm not belittling any denomination, but go into Baptist church today. They believe they're worshiping Jesus Christ when they're really worshiping the system of the devil.
Amen.
That's how deceived it is. Could it happen here too? Because the framework of the Christian church is where Satan is at now. So he's trying to deceive this bride. He's already got them. But that's how bad it is. See, so that's the deception. Eve thought she and the beast were doing what God told them to do. Or she wouldn't have done it. But she was so deceived by his what? By his speaking to her, by his preaching to her, by his soft speaking to Eve. And Eve just thought, man, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'll read it to you in a few minutes. Where Brother Bram said she lifted the Holy Ghost veil to take a lust veil. She did it. All right? Because remember, we're all free moral agents. She knew they were going to fall. I mean, God knew they were going to fall. He knew what she would do, but he couldn't stop her from doing it. He put everything he could out there. He told them, don't eat of that tree. One thing he told them not to do. One thing. And she broke that vow of chastity to her husband here first. And then the act was just what developed after you get it up here. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute because there was a question on that. All right, so the law of reproduction is every seed brings forth of its kind. So you and I were born by our mom and daddy by sexual birth, and we have a DNA that connects us to our parents. But when we got born again, it's like Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. He said, I'm a son of God. Why? Because his gene had been changed on the inside guy. His genetic makeup, Paul tells us that through regeneration or regening, our inside is being changed, what? Into the image of that Genesis 1:26 man. That before there was a fall, that's the way we were supposed to come. Spoken word seed. If not, how else are you going to make it? Because there was no sex involved in a human being in the plan of God, in the perfect plan of God. You know why? Because what we're doing, we're going right back to the Garden of Eden, where Brother Branham said a man and a woman can hug themselves, hug each other, and it not be a sensation. He just proved that by what he was talking to about here on the tape when he went across the curtain of time. They were brothers and sisters. All right? So that's what, but what's got to happen is, that's what I was thinking. Were you thinking this? You and I are involved in what he went over there and saw. Because he's over there now. He's over there in that sixth dimension now. And you and I are involved in getting him back into this dimension. Amen? If we don't pass away, we're going to be right here. And being right here, we're going to call them through that dimension back into this dimension. But death has got to be destroyed first right here. All right, so let's go to Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. So he didn't just bless one, he blessed both. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's God's children. That's the progeny or the genetics of God. That's not man. That's God-man. That's God's children. And look, God had to wait because Adam was the son of God. We read it in the genealogy. Adam was the son of God. Eve was a daughter of God. But then when God had to take that book away from Adam so that he couldn't bring the children forth, because what? Minds got polluted first. So he had to wait till the day of Pentecost when he come back as Jesus Christ and lived those 3.5 year message and gave it to Paul and, I mean, to Peter and James and John. And he kept telling them, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high because I'll be with you even in you. He couldn't say that to Abraham. He couldn't say that to Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all those Old Testament saints. He had to wait all that time, 2,000 years, so he could bring the bride that he always wanted. What? Born by the breath of God. Born by the spoken word of God. Because remember, before Jesus left the earth, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't receive it right then. You know that. Brother Bram tells us that was showing what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. That a rushing mighty wind was going to come. And it was going to what? Go into the believer, not on the believer, but inside the believer. And see, that's what Satan can't do. That's right. Satan can anoint you. He can get in your memories and conscious affection and imagination. But if you're born again, he cannot get in your soul. Right. Your soul is that Genesis 1:26 man that's going to reproduce God, absolutely, not natural children. Right. Everybody okay with that? Those of you that are asleep didn't know what I just said. Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam and the day that God created man in the likeness of God and made he him. You know, God went, Brother Bob, you just got to go. Go with me here. God's walking through the Garden of Eden and he finds Adam and Eve And they're not afraid at this point in time. And he says, hey, son. And I believe old Eve just kind of looks over and says, he looks like you. God said, yeah, he's my son. Okay? That's my son. They kind of looked, it was the same genealogy. Where did Adam come? Come straight from God. Amen? Amen? Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Remember, her name was not Eve till after the fall. In the day when they were created. Remember, Adam called her woman, the man with the womb. All right? To reproduce Adam. So now let's go to number 3. Now I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that in the beginning God made man in his own image and God is a spirit. And God made man spirit man. Then he made him in the dust of the earth. We get into Genesis 2:7. Now I believe that man in the beginning, well, led the animals of the earth like the Holy Spirit ought to be leading the church today. So let's go to Genesis 2:7. We've been through this, but this is where God puts man on earth. And someone was asking about, well, how did that creation happen? Brother Adam explains it. He said it looks just like Adam is standing with roots, like tree roots, into the ground. Because he brought him up. I mean, he's a master potter. Have you ever went to a potter? Who's doing pottery now? Somebody. These children of Brother Bob and Sister Monica, the young ones, the smart ones, they're doing pottery. And what do, girls? You take something that looks like nothing but just a round piece of clay. I grew up working in a pottery place, so I know they built thousands of them things, and I had to put them in the kiln and bring them out. But they slap that thing on the wheel, and what does the master potter do? He makes whatever is in his mind he can make that pot right there. Or whatever he makes. Well, what about Almighty God? Same thing with Adam. He threw some potash and 8-16 elements of the earth, and he just formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord God formed. What did he form it around? He formed it around that Genesis 1:26 man. Because Adam didn't look different when he was a spirit man than when he was a flesh man. Uh-huh. And he wasn't old. That's right. He didn't start getting old till after the fall. Hello? Amen. What are we going back to? Young men and women. Yes. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right? Then remember, he put that Genesis 1:26 man inside of Adam. And give him eternal life, according to blasphemous names. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made he the Lord to grow every tree, what? That is pleasant to sight, good for food. There's that colon. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God didn't plant those two trees. He was one of them. He was the tree of life. But he knew that other guy was down there with him because he'd kicked him out of heaven, so he knew where Satan was. Satan was right there in the garden with him. Amen. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Is everybody all right with that? Amen. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, or what? Partake of it. For in the day, now there's a question that we need to answer right here. Another sister asked this question. Good question. Because we were talking about God creating light. Everybody with me? Even those of you with your eyes closed, are you with me? I know you're just resting your eyes. Just don't choke. It says, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day. Now, the question was, is the Bible says the evening and the morning was the first day when he created light, but not the sun and the moon. Well, now, you got to remember, Brother Branham stops right here. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Eve didn't die the day she did what she did. The 24-hour day. Because there wasn't that. But where did she sin? She sinned in the day of the Lord. Because remember, Brother Branham said 1,000 years is a day, and a day 1,000 years. Several times in the message Brother Branham talks about creation was 6,000 years, not just 6 days. But remember, John goes to the Isle of Patmos, and he's on what? The Lord's Day. Now, Brother Brown said that was not a 24-hour day. That wasn't Sunday. It was the Lord's Day. You know, Jesus tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I don't think of a 24-hour day. I think of the day of the Lord. You and I are in the day of the Lord.
Amen.
All right? So that, for the day that thou shalt eat, thou shalt surely die. Now, what happened? Why do we have to have a millennium? To prove that day, thousand-year day, has been taken up. Because a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. So to me, God, when he said the evening and the morning was the first day, that could have been 1,000 years. That's what Brother Brown said. I've been reading it several times. He said it could have been 1,000 years. Each day was 1,000 years. But it set in motion to where you and I, it's kind of strange the way it happened. You know, you and I go from morning to night, right? That's our day from morning. You got it? From morning to night. And the evening time it shall be light. Israel takes the evening and the morning as their first day. When God gets finished with his day of the Gentiles in the evening time, about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, he's going to take us out of here, and then he's going to be the day with Israel. The 3.5-year day that they're going to get from the evening and the morning is going to be the first day. Maybe you'll understand that a little bit later. But you see how perfect God is. He brings the Gentiles up and gives us morning and evening, gives them evening and morning. We have light in the evening time. We get ready to get out of here. When we do, the first thing he does, the first day he goes over to Israel in their day. And what does he do to them? He raptures them out from the evening and the morning being the first day. So to me, that would be God is showing, he's setting up days, but when, and the question was true, there was no moon and stars and sun to divide it, but remember, he did divide the darkness from the light when he created that light we were talking about. That wasn't just a creation, it was just creation happening. It was the light of the world, it was God Almighty creating and atoms bursting and all these different things. So the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought unto him Adam to see what he would call them. Now remember, where's Eve? Where's woman? She's right there. She's inside of Adam. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
If this is boring you, y'all need to go find your ball game. And you'll be left here when we get out of here. You can stay in that stadium all you want to. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called him, he never had to correct Adam. God never had to correct Jesus Christ because that's who he was. But Adam was so close to God, he had the mind of God. That's why I'm telling you, he wasn't deceived. He knew and had to do what he did to preserve life. Just like Jesus Christ did what he had to do, he realized in his journey here that he was going to have to die so that his second bride could come out. So he took what? Sin with his eyes wide open. Listen, he knew the whole plan. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Everybody okay with that? He knew he had to die to get that Eve out of him. Now this Adam didn't have to die. God knew he needed a helpmeet. So he took her out. So Adam named all the creatures. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. In other words, he made male cat, female cat. He made male elephant, female elephant. He made male and female to reproduce sexually. But they don't have a carnal mind. Brother Brown explains all that in Marriage and Divorce. He tells you that, you know, we call a dog a slut for doing what she does. And he says she's got more morals than most women because you know what? They don't know any better.
Amen.
They're doing what nature intended for them to do.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's why Brother Branham said a woman can be worse, because she can take any time. We'll talk about that in a minute, because that's the deception part that come with Eve. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now look, if we by the new birth are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8, she was an heir and a joint heir with Adam, co-equal before the fall. She was not a slut or a whatever you want to call it. She was pure. She had what she needed to be the wife of Adam. Amen? She was a helpmeet. To be the wife of Adam, she had everything she needed. She had love. Because we're going to talk about it in a minute. Because remember, Brother Brown, watch what he says. And you have to put these pieces together. Brother Brown tells us, he said, there's agape love, which is the love of God that has no sex involved, no lust involved. But then he said, you start rolling down. He said, you go what? To that, to lust, to this, to that, all the way down to just rottenness. All right? See, that's what Satan got Eve to do. If she would have stayed in her place... Why? You and I, we get in our place, you and I being females in the bride of Christ, amen. We have a lover, we have a mate, we have a husband. It's Jesus Christ. So let's don't talk about the females being some low form, because then God can talk about you about being you being a low form, us males, right? Because as you treat your wife is how God's going to treat you. That ought to shake your bones. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Brother Brown said they had a Holy Ghost veil over them, covering them. Now what? It wasn't a veil. You understand what I mean? Where did that Holy Ghost veil come from? Right here. Not a veil, because remember, they substituted that with their own veils when they did what they did. They went and sowed fig leaves, and here they go. They start covering everything up. Right? They didn't have to before. And they could touch, they could hug. I'm sure Adam didn't stay over there and say, Eve, you stay over there, because, no, Holy Ghost veil, they were one. Amen? They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. All right, Genesis 3:1. We're going through here now. We know this is the fall. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So remember, this was an upright walking creature. This was not a snake. He was made a snake after the fall. To do what? To cover it up, because there is no snake bone that looks like a man. There are different ones, like Brother Bram said, a bear and a different ones. You skin a bear, it looks like a little young child. But a snake, there is nothing in a snake that looks like a man's bone. That's why God hid that and made him crawl on the ground. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's asking her a question. And the woman said unto the serpent, let me go get my husband, and I'll have him explain it to you. No, he trapped her right there. He trapped her right there. She answered and interpreted the word for herself. Isn't that what gets us in trouble? Isn't that what gets the woman, the church, in trouble now? Instead of going to our headship, Brother Bram said she had to come out from under headship to do what she did. Same way with you and me. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God hath... Now, he didn't stop right there, because she's going to throw him another question. But he brings God into the deal. He says, for God doth know. Now, how does Satan know that God knows? because Satan's standing there watching God through the whole plan. Amen? And he knows the knowledge of the principles of life. He knew that God set in motion that every seed was to bring forth of his kind. And if a female dog and a male dog gets together, and 6 months later there's a 6 or 8 puppies, and then they get together and there's 6 or 8 more puppies, and you do all, he knew that. Don't you think Adam knew that? Adam and Eve both knew that. They were watching it. But they had a Holy Ghost veil up here to keep them from going from what? Agape love to lust. All right? Because Brother Brown said when she took that Holy Ghost veil off, she took on a lust veil. And that's what's covering us today, folks. That's why we got kids. Sorry. We're made to procreate. But we were not made to procreate sexually. We're made to procreate just like what I'm saying. Brother Dale preaches. You catch the seed word of God here first, amen, drops down to here, and God births you, amen, by that seed, amen, spoken, word, seed, and you become that Genesis 1:26 man. Satan just didn't realize. He thought he had stopped the whole plan when he did what he did with Eve. But God's like, I knew you were going to do that. So here I got a little provision over here called grace. I got a provision here called a lamb. And Satan, believe it or not, I'm going to go die for them people. You won't, but I will. Amen. I'll go die for them. And Satan's like, I ain't dying for them. Isn't that what he said when he come up to be the near kinsman and the Boaz and Ruth? And he said, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then Boaz said, well, you got to take all this other. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. In other words, you got to go to Calvary, Satan. You got to give your life. He's like, nah, ain't going to do it. What a beautiful picture, though, of what God did. It's a perfect plan. It was an almighty God that's the only one that could come up with that plan. It's perfect. It can't be changed. It's like I said before. This 66 books of the Bible and those 1,100 sermons that we listen to is God speaking to us perfect. It cannot be changed. Man has changed it is what's got us in this trouble. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof or partake, then you're what? Well, she can see. She can see already. She's seeing him standing there, the beast, talking to her. Then your eyes. What eyes? This eye. Not these eyes. This eye. We sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Are we blind? Yes, spiritually we could be blind. So what happened is when he said, you shall not surely die, and when she started partaking of that, remember what, I'll read to you a minute. She pulled that Holy Ghost veil off, stepped into a lust veil, and she thought she was doing exactly what God told her to do. Still, Brother Bram says she still thinks she's doing the right thing. After 6,000 or more years, she still thinks she's doing the right thing. That other Eve. I'll read it to you in a minute. Then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree, and boy, you can get into this, because I even Brother Branham in Marriage and Divorce, if you're a man and a woman today that's been married, you understand what all these symbols are. A snake is a phallic symbol. A tree is the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? So this is why Moses is, when he's writing this, he's not going to write this in a form to where everybody's going to understand it. He's got to write it in a form so that me and you can understand it. Yes. The spiritual application of it, but we know what happened literally. And listen, I want to stop right here just real quick. Because remember, she was deceived. Listen, this, and I hope I don't offend no sister in this church. But when you start asking questions, and you ask them like, it's kind of like you think that the beast and Eve, it was some kind of, and I don't want to say it like the world would say it, a romp in the hay. You understand what I'm saying? It was not some sensual, no. She thought she was doing what God said to do, and then it just happened. Sure, it was a sexual affair. Sure, it was something that threw us all into chaos. But it wasn't some lustful. Now, we know it worked its way into that.
Yes.
But she thought she was doing the right thing.
Yes.
Like I said, it wasn't some dirty something. And that's what I hope we all, as brothers and sisters, when she was deceived, that meant she thought she was doing the right thing.
Yes.
Having relations with an animal. Look how deceiving that is. With an animal. And then she's so deceived, she goes to Adam and says, I got this new revelation. And it wasn't some, like I said before, it wasn't some lust-filled encounter.
Right.
Eve thought she was doing what God said to do, so she laid down and did exactly what she's been watching the animals do. Thinking that that would produce what God said. Isn't that what the denominations are doing? Isn't that what anybody that's deceived is doing? They're trying to do the right thing, because we're going to read it right here in a minute. Now look, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, I hope you understand what I'm saying, that it was pleasant to the eye. Now look that word up, pleasant. That pleasant, word pleasant means lustful. Because remember, she's getting ready, she's taking that veil off. All right? Because I'm going to tell you something. When she approached Adam and told Adam what she did, most of us would have never touched our wife ever again. Amen? You understand what I'm saying, adults? But why did he do it? He still had agape love. It couldn't have been lustful love that told him to do what he did. No, because remember, he wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. See, Jesus Christ didn't come down here with a lustful veil. He came down here with a Holy Ghost veil, which kept him pure. He knew, though, that Brother Bram says that Jesus Christ was so human, he could have had children. Amen? But that's not why he came. He came to destroy that.
Yes.
And to bring a bride by the spoken word of God, go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. She took of the fruit thereof. In other words, she did the act and did eat what did partake, and also gave, and also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And here was one of the questions. One of the questions is when the woman partook with the beast, why wasn't her eyes open first? She was deceived. Her eyes were not open, I don't believe, until she took it to Adam, and Adam said, what did you do? This is what you done. And then I believe Adam had to step out with her. What Brother Bram says, I'll prove it to you right here in just a second. I'll read it. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And Brother Branham tells us in this end time. Now look at Brother Branham. Here he is in the 60s. Women wear shorts to here down maybe then, or them little knickerbocker things or whatever, pedal pushers he calls them. And their bikinis had enough clothes on them to be halfway modest. Look at today. But Brother Branham said it's a lust spirit that tells them women to put on shorts, and she can go out there and cut grass in her shorts, in her tank top or whatever it was, and she thinks she's okay.
Amen.
So what's the same thing? It's the same devil. What did he do in the beginning? He said, oh, Eve, you're fine. This is producing the plan of God. He told you to multiply and replenish the earth. I heard him. If they're doing it in the animal kingdom, why not you? Oh, and by the way, I'm here to help. Isn't that the way the devil is? He shows up and he says, I'm here to help. I'll help you. Yeah, right. You better stay away from that slicker, Brother Brown said. But it's that lust veil that's on us again, showing us, it's like what Brother Brown said. He said, you think you've got the Holy Ghost and you can take off more clothes? He said, getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost shows that you were naked and that you need to put on clothes. Amen? The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 to prove our point. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man to be in silence. Now, why? That was set up because in Genesis 3, God had to put it where man was the head over the woman. Before the fall, remember, they were equal.
Yes.
But because of what she did, because of her transgression, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. Brother Brown said he went into it, I'll read it, went into it wide, with his eyes wide open. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now let's look at that word deceive. The word deceive means, look, watch this, to cause to accept. Now what did Eve accept? She accepted a seed from the serpent before they did the natural act. She accepted a seed in here that she was right. So then the other part just happened behind it. And this is where I want you, sisters and brothers, I want you to realize this. Those of you that are adults, where does everything begin? Right here. Right here. Even in your husband and wife relationship, it starts right here. Amen? Right here is where it all begins, right here. All right? To cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So she accepted as truth what the beast said when in originality it was false or invalid. So that's what deception or deceive means. And remember, she had to accept it. So do me and you. God's not, listen, I love, and I keep bringing it out, and I want you to realize this. Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost is a timid spirit. Remember, I've said many times before, you know, if it was me, if I was the Holy Spirit and you had a door closed, you know, I'd be over there kicking the thing down. You know why? Because that's my human, I want to know what's behind what you're hiding. But Brother Brown said he'll walk into your house. Remember the doors and doors? And this is after the new birth. This is after you get the new birth. You let him in your house, but you got this door closed. You got this door closed. And he's not going to go over there and even snoop. He's just going to politely say, can I go in that door? And you can say, mm-mm. That's what that statue of a perfect man is, folks. That's the doors that we have to work on. And God's not going to kick the door down. God didn't kick the door down in the Garden of Eden, right? First thing you done, he come down there looking for Adam. He didn't come down there and just wipe the whole thing off and start again. Did he? No, he knew what they were going to do. To cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So Eve, in everything she had, she totally denied whatever that was in deep down inside of her and produced what she did with the beast. Everybody got that? Pretty deceiving, isn't it? So that was the question. When the woman partook with the beast, why was her eyes open? Then when she gave to Adam, both were open. When she walked up and told Adam what she did, and this was her new revelation, I'll read it to you in a minute where Brother Brown says she brought a new revelation to Adam. Well, see, Adam looked at her and said, what have you done? Because, see, God asked Adam what he done. Right. So he asked his wife, so what have you done? He said, oh, I'm going to produce what you're supposed to be producing. I'm trying to get this Genesis 1:26 thing started here. That beast preached me a sermon and he said, oh, my Lord, what have you done? Listen to this. Number four, position of a believer in Christ. But the misunderstanding was they thought that I said that Adam never sinned, but Adam did sin. Because remember, Eve was deceived.
That's right.
Adam knew what he was doing. But he did it with his eyes wide open. And instead, in Timothy 3, it is said that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. See, Eve actually thought she was right. But Satan deceived her. But he didn't deceive Adam. He knew it was wrong, but because of the love for his wife, that's not filial love. That's agape love, knowing that that woman, that even though she did what she did, because you know what? Jesus Christ didn't. He saved us. He didn't destroy us. He saved us. Let us come this way, but he saved us. Same way, that's why he couldn't destroy Eve. He knew it was wrong, but because of the love for his wife, what? That way back, that agape love, Christ. Remember, first Adam is what? The first Christ, or the first person, first Adam, the Bible says. But he was earthy. Why? Because he had to come down here and put him in flesh. But he didn't deceive Adam. He knew it was wrong. But because of the love for his wife, he represented himself with that sin that she did and was condemned by the same and cast out of the Garden of Eden. My thoughts on that is Adam literally thought he could save Eve like Christ saved the bride, because he had that same thought process as God did. But remember, he was a human being. He was an almighty God. He couldn't transfer his life to save his wife. Jesus Christ can transfer his life because he's God almighty. He is that Genesis 1:26 man. Okay, we're just a part of that. So he could fulfill it, but Adam couldn't. That's why Brother Bram said Adam went out with Eve but couldn't come back. He had to partake of the sin of Eve, but he couldn't take her back in the Garden of Eden. But Christ can. And he wasn't deceived either. Amen? So watch. And cast out of the Garden of Eden. Listen, I wrote myself a note. We'll read that. Leave it right there. But remember, Adam was not a common man. He was a ruler of the earth. He had God-like qualities. I believe he knew that what is put into motion, he couldn't reverse. Because God said whatever seed was planted, that seed would bring forth of its kind, right? He knew that she was pregnated by the beast, and he couldn't reverse that. And that's why he went ahead and did what he did with her, to make sure that his genealogy would continue down the line. Because he was Son of God. He knew if he didn't do something that it would just be a beast and he'd have to destroy her. But he took her. But remember, it wasn't never was Adam's natural seed ever to come out of his body. Sorry to be plain, but that wasn't the original plan. It was spoken word. But when he did what he did, he knew the same principles of life as the same thing as Satan did. He knew what he had that he could use. But look, what's the thing, Brother Branham? God is looking and trying and moving and begging and persuading to find a little heart that he can come into and coo and make love to. Remember how he took Adam and Eve before the world, before sin came into the world? Look at Adam. What a beautiful type. Adam and Eve was a type of Christ in the church. Yes. Everybody got that? Yes. Now remember, Eve did not sin. Adam sinned. Adam's the one that sold us out, folks. That's why the second Adam had to bring us back. Now remember, Eve did not sin. Adam sinned. That's right. Not Eve. Adam sinned. Not Eve, she was the one who did the act, but Adam done the sinning. Woo. Woo. I'm reading quotes. The woman was deceived. Keep going. The Bible said she was deceived. She thought she was right. Now keep that in your mind, sisters, brothers. She thought she was doing exactly what God told them to do. And I'll read you a quote in a minute where he says she still is now. It's not in this one, I don't think. She thought she was right, but Adam knowed it was wrong. And now look, when Adam saw Eve had sinned and had done wrong, Adam walked right out, not deceived, but with both eyes open. But he so loved Eve, agape love, not filial love, because what happened when they take the Holy Ghost veil off, it comes into filial love. Agape love is what come into you at the new birth, inside you. Adam walked right out, but he so loved Eve that he took her place in death with her and walked out with her. You know that. Number six. Here it is right here. Now, women must bring forth this germ of life. Her and man together by connection. We won't go into that because you certainly disagree with me. He's talking about what happened in the garden. But it wasn't apples they taken in the Garden of Eden. So then when they did, let it be what it may. Bless Brother Brown's heart. He knew that he was discerning people thinking it was still apples, you know. He said, you believe whatever you want to. But it wasn't apples they taken in the garden. So then when they did, let it be what it may. Woman sinned. Man never sinned. Oh, and then he corrects himself. I mean, man sinned, woman never sinned. The woman was actually deceived. Adam was not deceived. He knowed what he was doing. Eve actually thought she was right. How many times have we got to say that? She was getting some new light. Because remember, Satan is an angel of light, transformed into an agent or an angel of light, that Satan was giving her. He's still giving her new light. He's still giving her new light. Stay with the Bible. That's it. The same, and I wrote myself a note, it's the same sermons that's preached in the garden is being preached today by the devil. And God puts his word out there and he said, believe what I said. Amen. Kind of simple to believe that, but it's kind of profound. Look at number seven here. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it. Oh, it's only 11:39. We're good. Lord, I thought this would take a while. Notice, she pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. Now, this is Satan's Eden, 1965. Compare that, what lust really would do. She pulled the veil from off her eyes, the holy thing that God had put over her eyes. She wanted knowledge. Yes. To know what it was all about. So she pulled the veil off to see what it was all about. That's why a woman can be deceived more than a man. Her feelings takes her toward that. Sorry. She listened to the devil and noticed what a place it put her in. They had done the same thing in each age thereafter. Boy, he's coming up now in the church ages. They have done the same thing in each age thereafter, always taking the intellectual side, and has now built a kingdom of Satan, knowledge, his seed that he sowed, and has taken the world to be an Eden of death. Keep going. Now notice, now look at Revelation 3, the Laodicean church age. You think it in your mind. Now notice, she, Eve, is Satan's queen. See, Satan the serpent got to Eve before Adam got to her, see? That's right. So he beguiled her, see? So Satan the serpent was the husband of Eve before Adam ever knew. Everybody understand that? See, he beguiled her, the Bible said he did, and she knowed that she was naked then. Now look at the Laodicean church age. She, Eve, is sitting as Satan's queen. What? The whole world's being deceived. I'm talking about the whole church world. I'm not talking about the drunks, and I'm talking about the church world. It's being deceived by that same lie. She is rich, worldly goods, blind, naked again, and don't know it, just like it was in God's Eden. But now, not because the holy veil is over her face, but the lust veil, that she took off God's holy veil and put on a veil of knowledge for lust. And now she has a lust veil that she is blind to it being sin. She's blind to it being sin. Because listen, if you get the truth told to you of water baptism, of the Trinitarian, all these different things, if you're told that and you deny it, then what are you? You're blind to that sin that you're in. That's why we're all blinded. We were blinded by what? Satan's lie. She is naked on the street and don't know it. See? Naked and don't know it. Now look at Genesis 4. Verse 1, look how deceived Eve was, even after all this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She still thought that plan was going to work somehow. She still thought, and we know that God had to give Cain life because of what? Because of what he said in Genesis 1 verse 4 or 5 in there where it said every seed has to bring forth of its kind. All right. So let's stop right there. And I've got some more quotes that you don't have, but I want to read them to you. And this will help because as many people in this message, just pull up number A. Now you don't have them in yours, but you just have to read them off of here. Watch what happened. Now look, there's a lot of people in this message believe that Adam had to have sex with Eve to save her. Now it's well known. Everybody, most of the ministers are shaking their head. We know who preaches it. But to me, that's not right. Adam's natural seed is what destroyed this world, not made it better. He couldn't save Eve. That was the problem. Adam saved no one. Adam couldn't save himself. They still needed a lamb. Abel needed a lamb. Even righteous Abel, the Bible says in Genesis, I mean in Hebrews 11. Abel's righteousness, though, was that lamb that he took for a sacrifice. Amen? Let's read this right here. Just couldn't wait. So the sperm of Eve never happened. Hybrid to Satan's lie. His lovely bride become polluted, and so has Christ's bride. The bride, what made her become polluted? Adam's bride now, question. Because she never stayed with God's word. God's word was not to create sexually. It was to create by the spoken word of God. Amen. Okay, has everybody got that?
Amen.
I asked. Now, if it's not so, don't say it. But if it's so, say it. The reason that Adam's bride, there's the three, Adam, Christ, God. The reason that Adam's bride never did bear right the life child is because she disbelieved God's word. In other words, she didn't take on a spiritual atmosphere, she took on a natural atmosphere and took on a natural seed. Everybody got that? But now what was that natural seed? One was from the beast and one was from Adam. They both were born dead. Okay. Is that right? Say amen. Congregation says amen. The reason that Jehovah's wife was put away, what? In the Old Testament, God had a bride called Israel. All right. The reason that Jehovah's wife was put away, what? She went out, what? Not prostituting so much her body. Children of Israel didn't just become a bunch of natural whores. It was what they did spiritually. They went after idols. They went after all these different things that God told them not to do. They went after them, and what did he do? He put her away. The reason that Jehovah's wife was put away or his bride was because that she rejected God's word, the prophet. That right? Say amen. The reason that Christ's bride is put away in divorcement, Nicaea. This is getting up to us now. It's because that she rejected the word of God. What? Took on a trinity, took on a water baptism that was false. Like Eve did, like the rest of them did. Amen. Exactly. Now, I'm just reading all whores. All polluted. Their husband couldn't get to them. They was already pregnated before their husband got to them. Oh God, if that ain't a pitiful sight, think of a young man coming to a woman and find her with seed of some other man in her. What a thing. That's what God has done. That's what Adam done. That's what Christ has done. So let's read number B. This is in the breach. Now, if Adam's seed was just some of this wonderful thing, let's read what the prophet said. Because remember, nowhere in Adam's experience was he supposed to have a natural relations with Eve. Right? I mean, isn't that true? Because that's what got him in trouble. You got to do the reverse. Now, couldn't we stop here just a minute and get our real sermon? Oh, then if the blood has cleansed it back, what about now? Look what that Son of God, the second Adam, did. Said, the works that I do shall you do also. See, Adam lost his inheritance, the earth. Now it passed from his hand to the one he sold it out to, Satan. Because remember, this is the god of the evil age. this evil age. He sold his faith in God to Satan's reasoning. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him, and he forfeited it every bit to the hands of Satan. Now, I want to explain something right here. He didn't lose the eternal life that was in his soul. He was the Son of God. He comes straight from God. He was part of that Genesis 1:26 man. It was just that his body had to die. And just think how strong, though, that body is. You read how many, they live 900. Can you imagine living? Sister Cletus, 91, 2, 1, 8, no, 70, 35. But could you imagine living 900 years? 900 years? That's how strong their body was that God give them in the garden, give them good food to eat, even though he cursed the ground. 969 years. Can you go back 900 years? You'd be back in what? Good grief. You'd be back in the 1400s, 13. You'd be back in 1100 A.D. Could you imagine living from there till today? I mean, even my dad at 80 years old, he's seen go from a horse and a buggy to an astronaut in his short lifetime. What do you think about that? But they eventually died.
Yes.
Why? Because they denied what was in the Garden of Eden. They denied the tree of life. Look. Therefore, his eternal life, his right to the tree of life, his right to the earth belonged to him, and he forfeited every bit to the hands of Satan. He passed it from his hand to Satan. And we're going to read that next Sunday in Genesis 3. We'll actually start with Genesis 3 again, where God condemned all this. But I had to cover this because of the deception that I want us to be aware that, you know what, you and I are still deceived until we get to the body change. There's a small part of deception. There's a part of us in us right now, sorry, that's being worked out of us, that we're just going to have to die. We can't make it. We can't do this. I'm getting old. Abraham never had that in his vocabulary. Abraham said, God, you promised it. You're going to have to make it come to pass. That's what we got to depend on. We can't depend on, yeah, we depend on doctors, and we depend on taking vitamins, and we depend on losing weight. We depend on doing these things. But you know what? You can lose it in 1 second. But you can't lose your eternal life if you get it inside here. You're just as eternal as God is. Therefore, now it has been, watch this, it returned and has been polluted. Now look, the seed of Adam, natural. The seed of Adam has destroyed the inheritance that Adam should have had. When he did what he did with Eve to take on her sin, he destroyed, Brother Brown said, he destroyed everything that Adam should have had. That's the earth. That's right. The seed of Adam. Let's go to number C and then we'll be done. Prophet of God, this is still in the breach. This is paragraph 111. Now what happened? The polluted seed of Adam, natural,
right,
has polluted and absolutely destroyed this land. So we put all of that on Eve. Oh, Eve was this big slut. Well, you know what? Eve was deceived. She thought she was doing the exact thing God said. And the prophet of God says she's still deceived today. Look how strong that deception is. But it was the polluted seed of Adam when he did what he wasn't supposed to do to bring children forth. Sure, Eve was a part of it because remember, they were one. That's why I believe that agape love took over Adam so he couldn't kill her. He loved her so much. I just read you the quote. He loved her so much he couldn't see her destroyed. So he had to keep going in the plan of God to keep his seed line going. Because there was going to be a natural beast seed. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. There's a natural beast seed that went out, and then there was a natural seed of Adam that went out in the beginning. No doubt. Cain was not from Adam. Cain was from the wicked one. Abel was from Adam. Seth was from Adam. And everything else, Cain was basically by himself. He didn't have a daddy. He didn't look like Adam. He looked like his daddy that God had destroyed before he was even born. You ever thought about that? So he was born a bigger guy, a hairy guy, or maybe something like that. Now what happened? The polluted seed of Adam has polluted and absolutely destroyed the land. So see, there's nothing righteous in that Adam. Except what he did to top Christ by taking the bride and saying, God, what did Brother Abraham say Abraham did? God couldn't kill Abraham, couldn't kill Sarah when Sarah laughed at God and lied to God. What did Brother Brown say? He said God would have destroyed Sarah if it hadn't have been for Abraham. Yes. Why? Because she was a part of him and God honored that. Well, guess what? Same thing. Eve was a part of Adam and God honored that. And because that he has did this, the polluted seed of Adam, God will destroy them. What? The natural polluted seed of Adam, God's going to destroy. You want to read this? Let's see. I got it wrote down here. Turn to Revelation 11 and we'll find out. Get over in Revelation 11th chapter. We'll see that God said about them who's destroying the earth, which is there in Revelation 11. But we put a lot on, on Eve. But you know, if you're standing in the Garden of Eden, and especially with Moses watching what's going on, then you got a prophet in the end time. The prophet in the end time tells us, says, Eve was deceived. The Bible says Eve was deceived. And deception, I told you, I read you the definition of deception or deceived. It's doing something thinking you're right. So she did that. She never in any part of that, what she did, Satan so deceived her, she walked right into it, walked right to it, through it, and to Adam before I believe her eyes were open when Adam said, what have you done? And she explained it and he's like, oh. Because what did he do? He had questioned her. But what did God do? When God came down to the Garden of Eden, he walked to the Garden of Eden. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, I was afraid. God said, what have you done? Remember, the Bible says, what have you done? There's something going on here. Me and you used to be able to talk. Why are you back in there in the bushes with them fig leaves over you? Who told you were naked is what the Bible says. Who told you were naked? We'll read that next week. Who told you were naked? He said, the woman you gave me, that revelation that she brought to Adam, God said, what have you done? Right? She said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat and partake. So what did God do? He didn't destroy his... Look how awful that was. Think about it, folks. Me and you, all the awful, stupid stuff we do. There's Adam and Eve standing there, and God knows there's going to be a fall afterwards. He knew what was going to happen, but what did he do? Never cursed them. Sure, he cursed Eve's womb. We know about that. But he never cursed Adam. He cursed the beast first. Then he cursed Eve's womb. Then he cursed the ground. He come right up the way it went down. He came right up. Because the beast started it with Eve. Eve took it to Adam. Then he said, all right, wait a minute, I got to destroy this. God said, off goes your feet, on your belly you'll go, dust you'll eat for the rest of your life. And in other words, kind of funny, yesterday, I've been thinking about all this, and yesterday, my daughter Hannah come, let's stand, musicians come. I was inside the house, and I just got off from work, and I come in, and Hannah was walking her dog. She come in screaming like a child. And I thought that the dog maybe got run over. But we've got a little friend that hangs around with us. He's about almost 6 feet long. He's as long as I am, at least. And he's about that big around. And it's a black snake. And Richard's seen one down at the... This is not the one that stays down at the barn. But we keep them around because they eat poisonous snakes and keeps poisonous snakes out of the way. But it was just the fear that was instilled in my daughter to see the fear in her eyes when she walked outside to take the dog out. And there laid stretched out underneath my plum tree was that snake. Well, see, that's a fear. Now, that snake's not going to bother you. But it's just the fear that's instilled. How many times have you walked up on a snake? Now, you walk up on a little bunny rabbit, or you walk up on maybe a little squirrel or something. That don't scare you. But you walk up on a snake. I don't care, folks. I've seen a man melt at a little green snake about that long. Why? It's what happened in the garden. And God said, I'm going to throw it every bit in that right there. I'm going to throw it in that snake. And there's going to be fear. And there's going to be nothing pleasant about that thing right there. These people that handle these snakes. But remember, my whole point today, we are all in some sort of deception until God takes us out of it. Until our second Adam comes to us and says, darling, look what you're about to do. How many times has God done that to us? But how many times have we went ahead and done it? And how much trouble have we been in? Right? But if we'll listen to our husband, that's why that there had to be set up headship between Christ and the bride, Adam and Eve, Christ and the bride. When she got out from under her headship, she thought she was doing what? Brother Brown said, look what I got, this new revelation that I've got. If we get revelation from the Bible, connected it to our spirit man that was not born of man and woman, that's what makes it perfect. All right? But our problem is we look at with eyes, denominational eyes, Trinitarian eyes, whatever eyes, you don't need to go to church, just listen to tape eyes, that's just as bad. Because you can't deny the Bible, folks. I'm saying it, I don't care who hears it. The Bible can't be changed. Brother Brown did not come to change this Bible. He came to make us look into it more than we ever have before. And we being the second Eve, he said she won't be deceived like the first one. Why? Because we've got the second Adam not somewhere in the garden. We got the second Adam right here. In the midst of me and you. He's not just around us, he's in us, folks. And being in us, he's going to cause us, if we'll yield to him, the second Eve is going to cause us to be the spoken word children of God, just like had they not been a fall. So we, Brother Luis, this is our mandate to destroy the effects of that fall right here. We're going to a second Eden, no doubt. We're actually going to go to a millennium that's not even ours. It's just going to prove that the sin curse has been lifted because a man lives over a thousand years. But that's not ours either. We're going to go walk out into the, out in the realms of the, of wherever you want to say. You say, well, how can you do that? In a glorified body, you can do whatever you want to. We're going to go out upon the breath of the earth and God's just going to take his hand and he's just going to wipe every bit of this off with a holy fire. And you know what's going to happen? Let there be light. Let there be trees. Let there be animals. Let there be a city. And you and I are going to live in that city. We're going back to where it all started. Amen? Do you believe that?
Yes.
But there's bumps in the way. There's bruises in the way. There's toils and trials and tribulations in the way. But you know what? That didn't bother Abraham. Abram got changed to Abraham and he just kept getting older and older and older and older. But he said, God, you promised it. God does not mind, folks, if you get up or if you're having trouble, you get up in the morning, all the things, you say, God, you promised. You promised that we could go boldly before the throne of grace and whatever we ask for, you give it to us. If we ask the right way, Brother Brown said we got to ask the right way. Are we doing that? Like I said before, have we got the slate clean? Have we got the road clean in our life? Everything out of there. And let God move in. Because you know what? He wants to. He's standing there at the door. You say, oh, brother, I'm already born again. I've been born again 30 years. He's still standing at some door. Because there's doors and doors. He's knocking at a door saying, can I get in there, please? I'll help you if you'll let me in. All you got to do is open the door. Amen. You don't have to tear it down. You don't even have to rebuild another one. Just open it and let God in. Let's sing a song. God bless you. But deception. Remember, we're all in deception until our eyes are open.
Trust kind and true. He's the rock of your salvation. Oh.
Oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Sing it to him. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. Leave your sin for the blood to cover. Oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Sing it to him.
Have you tasted that
the Lord is gracious, that he's wondrous, kind and true?
Have you drank from the living fountain?
Oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Sing it to him. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. Leave your sin for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
Oh, there's honey in the
rock, my brother. You love him today? Oh, Lord, that our eyes will be open. You say, I'm not deceived. You're deceived. There's honey in the rock for you. Because that's what you got to do. You just say, God, I'm deceived. Especially when you get in some kind of trouble. You are deceived. You've walked into a deception. And there's only one deceiver. God will never deceive you. God is a receiver, not a deceiver. Satan just wants you to be as messed up as Eve was in the garden. Because that same devil that was doing that is right here today. He said, well, it worked one time. It's actually worked in Jehovah's bride. I got into Israel and made them do what they did. I got into the real bride at Nicaea and I changed their whole attitude. I made them baptized in something that ain't even in the Bible. I made them believe in a Trinitarian doctrine that has no truth at all. And he said, I can do it again. But no, God sent us a prophet to say, now, the Son of Man's here just like he was 2,000 years ago. It's God in human flesh in me and you. If you have a problem, just go to your husband. That one. Just go to your husband. Say, God, I don't want to be in deception. I want to be right. And if you're sincere, God will give you what is right. Whether it be your healing, whether it be anything in the scripture, whether it be a question in your mind, whether it even be how to take your kids and make them, not make them, but teach them to do things. All that. God's in all that, folks. Listen, God is in his children. He's in all of us. Just as he was in Jesus Christ, he's in us. He was Jesus Christ. And there's not a separate spirit in us. But see, has Satan said, no, you're kind of like God. See, that's what he wants you to believe. That's what he got Eve to believe. Oh, you'll be a God. She should have told him and said, look, if you were back there in Genesis 1 when I was, I think God called me a God. Because I'm part of God. Amen? Is that too strong? No, we got to realize that's what God put us on this earth for. If the second Adam was put here to bring us back, where is that second Adam? He's right here. He's right there. He's inside of you. It's the problem is Satan is deceiving us in our memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. Look at that. All those five words Satan can play with as many times as you let him play. So get out of that. There's no reasoning in that middle man. You're either faith or doubt. Right there. So go to God, pray for your pastor, pray for everybody in and around the country, pray for your president. That's okay. Brother Brown did. I don't care how bad you hate him, or some of you, but He's a human being that's got a job to do. And guess what? You need to pray for him. You need to pray for each other, though, that God will deliver every one of us from this, and we'll get it out of here, and we can come back. It's good to see most of you back. Downstairs is pretty much full. So God bless you. Thank you for everything. We're no second service. So God go with you. We'll be here Wednesday night. Brother Luis will be preaching. We'll keep you updated about Brother Dale. We were talking to me and Brother Bob, or somebody was talking about that, or Brother Joe, that seventh or eighth day is going to be rough, and this is his seventh or eighth day. So, listen, it's his body. Realize this, your body can only get rid of something. Now, God can take it away, but your body naturally gets rid of it by fever. And it either has to come out here, or you understand. So it's got to get out. If it got in, it's got to get out. So we're going to pray that that thing gets out. Same way, all of you. We all got health issues that we're looking at. But it's the same God. He don't have a list up here that's tough for God and a list that's not so tough. No. It's not tough at all. Because God is the healer. And we have not come this far in this journey for God to walk away from us and leave us alone. He'll stay. He's closer now than he was back then, because he knows the devil's closer. Believe, folks. Believe. Hebrews 11. Go back and read Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, I don't see. Maybe your eyes are blinded like Eve's. Have God pull them scales off of your eyes and just look down at the Word of God and say, God, you said it. I believe it. And that's it. You love the Lord? All minds clear? Pray for Brother Dale. We'll keep you updated on him. He's fine. He'll be okay. So let's bow our hands. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you. Lord, we know one thing's for sure. We cannot make it without you. We cannot make it without that Holy Ghost veil that you have now put in our heart. Lord, we still have to deal and live under that lust veil on the outside because of the fall. But Lord, you knew that, and you gave us provision. You gave us the Word of God to keep us in the things that we're supposed to do, right and wrong. But that inside man, Lord Jesus, it was not born of a sexual birth. It was not born of a carnal mind. That inside man by the new birth was born from the breath of God back in Genesis 1:26 before the foundation of the world. So it cannot fail. It has already won. And Lord, we just pray that we will believe that, and that you'll now send the healing angels down there to Gillsville, Georgia, Lord, to our father and mother, Lord, and you'll touch them, Lord. Touch the ones out in Brother Jason Jackson's church, Lord, that we talked about. Father, the ones, Brother Donnie Reagan's, one of the different ones, the different churches, Brother Tim Pruitt. We heard that Brother Timothy Pruitt's wife's having a bad time with it, but not Brother Tim Pruitt's wife, Brother Timothy Pruitt's wife. Lord, we pray for the angel of mercy to fly swiftly there, Lord, and heal your bride. Because we need you, Lord. You said we stand this pressure, and you said you'd never put on us more than we can stand. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Carry us through this journey, Lord, and bring us back safely on Wednesday night, Father. For us in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. There's
honey in the rock for you. Leave your sin.